I am so amped up on caffeine. I had a bunch of it coming out here. Sorry.
No, that's cool. By the way, it's episode 4.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Game Sports and More, the podcast, episode number 5.
Hey, man, it's number 4.
Don't even start with me, John.
You know what?
You can title it Game Sports and More, episode number 4, episode 5. That'll be the title. Episode 5 is the title for episode 4.
I'm just saying it's going to show up weird in iTunes.
Show up weird? Well, you just put it in quotes and then it's fine.
Okay, fine. Jeez.
So anyway, we're going to do a little nerd talk today. Got a couple of things that I saw this week.
Yeah.
I always like looking at boobies.
Well, I kind of figure that's what you mean when you say a couple of things you saw.
Cool. I always see a couple of things, but you know, those aren't really nerdy things. Nerds love them, but yeah. No, they dropped a new Star Wars trailer today. We got to see Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Which is awesome.
Yes, give it a little teaser. I really think that, you know, it's coming full circle for me because I've never known a world without Luke Skywalker being Mark Hamill and Han Solo being, you know, Harrison Ford, all those characters.
Oh, yeah.
So it's bringing it full circle, but I really, the way that the trailers are kind of portraying everything, I think they're really going to be kind of in the background.
You know, it seems like it'll be more of a passing of the torch type deal.
Yeah, which is not surprising, but, and, you know, it'll be a good thing to have those characters there. But yeah, really give, you know, shed light on new people, new cast, new situation, because it's a world without Darth Vader, so we'll see what happens.
I know, it'll be cool, though.
But it'll still be the Empire there, you know, there's going to be some kind of faction.
Yeah, like the weird remnants.
Yeah, it'll be like a terrorist organization. So it's just going to be ISIS.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, you know, right? But, you know, the trailer was cool. We saw the melted Darth Vader helmet.
That was so cool.
Which I really don't know how that worked, because was it ever even addressed what Darth Vader's helmet was made out of?
No, it was not.
You know, it's like you saw the bad special effects in Empire Strikes Back at the end when he says that he's your father, I'm your father, and his little helmet is blowing in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
So it looked like plastic, but in that trailer, it melted and looked like stone.
It was very shiny, I know that much.
It was very shiny until it got burnt, and then it was just kind of dark and looked like rock.
It was cool, though. It's a nice little effect.
Yeah, but it seemed like the, you know, it's going to focus a lot more on the black stormtrooper, much to some people's chagrin, because everybody gave flack about the black stormtrooper, even though, you know, everybody's, oh, it was clones. No. Well, they stopped making clones a long time ago, and they just started recruiting people.
Well, that's just because those are people who are retarded and don't know enough about Star Wars canon.
Well, even that, it's just like, you don't need to, you know, like, figure it out. You know, like, in the very first episode 4. There was a bunch of varying heights of stormtroopers. They weren't all clones.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way Luke Skywalker got past everybody. It's because he was a short guy. He didn't blend in.
Oh, absolutely not. He definitely didn't look like Boba Fett or Jango Fett or any of them.
No, but just height-wise, yeah, he was just way off. And he was kind of a whiny pussy in that first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still less so than Hayden Christensen.
Oh, God. Well, we bring that up, man. Yeah. George Lucas wanting to cast a nobody. Well, good job. You made him semi-famous.
Yeah, and then he made some horrible movies after that.
Yeah, well, because he was an actor.
Oh, he's horrible.
He's still an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, pluck somebody from obscurity. Good job, buddy.
But I don't know, the trailer's pretty awesome, though. I'm pretty excited about it.
I know. I watched it, and my wife was over my shoulder, and she was like, I don't see anything special about it. We're getting divorced now.
Yeah.
Yep. She just doesn't even understand.
Or you're like wiping the tears away when Han Solo says we're home.
I was just like, oh my God. You know, I'm a little 7-year-old kid again. And then my wife's over my shoulder, just crushes my dreams. I don't see what's so special about it. You weren't even born until 1983. You don't get it. I was conceived in May of 1977.
Come on, I'm a Star Wars baby.
I could have been conceived in one of the theaters. I don't know. I've never known a world without Star Wars.
It's true.
She just was born and hey, there's Ewoks. Yay, good for you.
It's just some people, they don't understand the amazingness that is Star Wars.
No.
At least, you know, the 3.
Trekkies. But anyway, yeah, they dropped the new trailer for the Battlefronts.
Oh, I know, which is so exciting.
Yes, I've heard some people say, you know, they're not too excited about a DICE game along with the EA, but... You know, Disney has the rights, so they're not going to put out a crap product, and it's been in development for long enough that somebody should have came in and hopefully finished this thing off. I think it's going to get delayed.
Well, they ended up actually just redoing it from the beginning. Like, they totally just canned that other one.
But it doesn't surprise me. When you're dealing with so many different groups of developers, they're going to go in a different direction. The teaser trailers look great, but mm-hmm. those are just cutscenes using the same engine, yeah. but that doesn't mean anything.
But on the plus side, there were some people from IGN who went and actually saw a 5-minute like actual level being played.
Oh, well, you know that. Yeah, well, of course you can make a five minutes. Mm-hmm. All right, rush in. Oh, here's 5 minutes. Get out, yep. get out before you know we get a kill screen.
Apparently, it was cool though, because I guess you could switch on the fly between first and third person, which is a new concept, but it's still handy.
No, but yeah, some games when it's very handy, they don't do it. And yeah, the original Battlefronts were all third person, and mm-hmm. first person perspective comes in handy for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. And apparently, the one they saw was on Endor, and they could go up into the Ewok village and cruise around in the treetops and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of an open world like mm-hmm. it always has been, but hopefully a little bit better.
Absolutely.
You know, you're dealing now with basically two generations away from when the last Battlefront came out, ideally, mm-hmm. from the engines that they have. So I have a lot of high hopes.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'd be great. And plus, they, you know, are still doing the whole heroes and villains thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, good two sides. And it's fun to be able to play both characters on every side.
Oh, and plus, like, the special characters like Darth Vader and Boba Yoda Fett. And all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, in the original one, they had their special abilities. Because mm-hmm. Vader, you could whip out the sword. Or he would whip out the sword at you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it looks fun. Hopefully, it'll be great. I'll be looking forward to not only seeing more Star Wars movie trailer, but Star Wars video game trailer coming up.
It's just some good stuff, finally. As opposed to just like, oh, this crap is just getting shoveled out.
I know, but yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen any, you know, bad characters pop up, it's all original trilogy. It's not anybody, I haven't seen a Misa Sari pop up. Once that, I'm out. I'm going to be done.
Well, they got the little Rolly droid. I don't know if that counts.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Different kind of droids all over the place. You know, it's a droid.
Mm-hmm.
You saw three different types of C-3POs in the original, you know, trilogy, but then they turned around and made it, oh, Darth Vader made him as a kid from scratch.
He single-handedly, without ever seeing any of the other protocol droids, made him the exact same as the rest of them.
I know, without the outside, but it made it so perfect that they were able just to pop some gold shells on him. No problem.
Weird. Somehow he looks like that silver one from Cloud City. It's just,
yeah, except less of a dick.
Yep.
And kind of feminine.
That's because he's British.
And yeah, and the crazy thing is that guy still fits into that costume. His entire life. He's in his 60s now.
It's nuts, dude.
Yeah, that's just, he was skinny enough fit in there before, but.
Well, both him and Chewbacca are old.
I know, it's weird that Peter Mayhew is still playing Chewbacca. That guy could barely stand and walk, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, I guarantee they have a stand-in somewhere that's just doing scenes, and they're just, you know, if you had it without Peter Mayhew, everybody would throw a fit. So mm-hmm. he's probably actually in the outfit for like two scenes, maybe.
I'm sure if there's anything running, it's not him.
Oh, absolutely
just
not.
Just because he's done like 6 years of physical therapy just to be able to walk a while.
Yeah, I mean, his just height has just been a constant, mm-hmm. degrading, his health is degraded over his height, and his joints and everything are bad.
I mean, the dude's been in a wheelchair for years.
Yeah, kind of like the, you know, Jaws, the guy that played Jaws in the mm-hmm. original 007, went on to...
rest in peace.
Yeah, he passed away. Happy Gilmore, he was the old boss with the nail in his head, and you could literally see him propping himself up on mm-hmm. people around. I mean, same thing, he's a super tall dude, just bad joints.
Which sucks.
Yeah. I mean, basketball players super tall. They have shorter lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, because unfortunately, there's...
Andre the Giant.
Yeah, he used to bathtubs, man. Like, that guy was just... He didn't even care.
Nope.
But a picture with him with a beer can in his hand was crazy. It was like holding a thimble.
Oh, dude, I know. He was massive.
Yeah, big dude.
So, nice. I don't know. I'm super excited just to get all the good old stuff back in it.
I want to relive my childhood, but only, like, way better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I had decided to forego next-gen gaming.
Oh, yeah.
For another 6 months waiting for Battlefront. Not only get the kinks out of the system, but, you know, they just did a price drop, and so I was going to wait one more price drop.
Well, and it sounds like they're also doing a redesign, too.
Yeah, and that's not surprising. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll get a bigger man controller so people with manly hands can actually hold it and play games.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and they also, they did like, what, 4 redesigns on the original 360?
No, oh, at least, yeah. They did the Slim, which didn't last very long before they came out with just the other models.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had my original one was the best functioning one. The other ones have been problematic for me.
The only one I've had luck with is the last one they released.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the shiny one. Because I went through three of the originals.
Yeah, I've got the shiny one as well. I've had a few issues with it, but my original one, I had it for, you know, 5 years, something like that, before it red ringed.
Oh, man.
And but it was like I was still 1 week within the red ring warranty, and so I got it sent off and fixed.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I had a backup one.
Yeah, I had two red ring, and then I had my Elite went and the CD drive died. Then they sent me a replacement regular one, which broke my heart because it was the bright red one I sent off.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the special edition one.
Yeah, and then that one red ringed like 2 weeks later.
I remember that. Yeah, that was so awesome.
I was pissed at him for multiple reasons, and then I just went and bought the shiny one, and that one's been great ever since.
No, it's pretty good design, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with the Xbox One. You know, it's already pretty sleek, but I think they've got to make it a little bit smaller. I'm not sure at this point they've sold enough units to where they can justify, you know, purchasing large amounts of hardware to get it down cheaper to make not only cut the price point, but to make it a little bit more slim, a little more sleek. Redesign, so yeah. Appeal to more people.
And it sure sounds like they're giving up on the Kinect, too, since they haven't really had that in the box for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, once they dropped it, because people just didn't want it. I mean, it's fine. The voice commands are great, but to spend an extra $100 on it, just not really worth it, to me especially. I mean, I would probably get it just so that I could, you know, every time I lose my remote, I just want to watch, you know, a Netflix on it or something.
Yeah, just say something.
Yeah, just say something. I always like going over to other people's houses that have it and watching it, because you just go, Xbox off, and they get super pissed.
And it's the best.
Yeah. I'm a dick.
So?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know. That's why I do it.
And then did you also see the Batman and a Superman trailer they released?
I did,
the
yes.
Super everyone being depressed trailer?
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't really impressed with it.
It's weird.
It's, yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't the leading trailer that I thought they would put out. I thought they'd put out a little something, a little bit more action-packed, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This, you know, besides just Ben Affleck and Superman just kind of staring it off into space, looking super sad.
Yeah, because you couldn't really tell that it was Ben Affleck at all, which is fine, but I wanted to see a little bit more of that Batman, I guess.
Yeah.
To see what the reimagining of that is.
I'm just curious, how do you feel about the him using, like, a digitized voice instead of the Christian Bale, like, throat growl?
So that's what that feels like.
Exactly.
You know, it's it was that's the only bad part about that Christopher Nolan trilogy was the steady descent by Christian Bale of some kind of method acting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that was about, but, yeah, that was the only part that bothered me. Other than that, the films were all fun, and I thought they were really well done. So you have to do something to set yourself apart in this new one. So if he's going to use a digitized voice or a modulated voice, that's fine with me. I really don't care.
It makes more sense.
It's the film industry. I mean, everything gets tweaked. Everything gets airbrushed.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't want to see ugly people up there. I go to films to see hot people.
Well, you know, the whole using a digitized voice makes sense for the character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a character. It's not Ben Affleck's Batman.
Exactly.
It's just Batman.
He's just a rich guy who could afford, you know, a billion-dollar jet that flies around shaped like a bat. He could probably afford a little voice control.
Right? I mean, he's disguising himself a little bit more because he's got that money. He just doesn't put a pair of glasses on and comb his hair over, and exactly. Suddenly he's a dorky reporter. That's not Superman. Like, come on, what?
Yeah, I watched friggin' that Man of Steel movie the other day.
Did you? It was the first time you seen it?
Yeah.
I watched it the first time either. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was okay.
It was a lot better than Superman Returns.
Yeah, that movie sucked. Holy crap, that sucked. It was so boring.
Yeah.
You got Kevin Spacey in there as the bad guy.
Kevin Spacey's awesome.
Yeah. And you make a 2.5-hour movie that just dragged on. And I'm like, please, just kill everybody. I don't care if Superman dies.
It also doesn't help that I really hate Brandon Routh.
Yeah, you can't have a brown-eyed Superman. How's that? There you go. He's got to be blue-eyed. That's just the way it is.
And that guy's kind of a douche.
Yeah, you know, it's like he was in Chuck, the TV show Chuck. Yeah. He was a douche in that one, but that's the character. That's fine. But he was. I only half blame him because that was a shitty movie.
Oh, it was a terrible movie.
Whoever cut it, whoever at the studio did whoever is the editor cut that movie together. you made a boring ass movie.
Yes, they did.
And that's why there wasn't a sequel. And the Man of Steel that has gotten a bunch of shitty reviews is getting a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't terribly boring.
Yeah, it's funny, because I only just sat down and watched it because HBO was free a couple weekends ago. So I was like, oh, it's on. It's starting. Might as well. I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I watched it on HBO Go. So I was like, I want to see that. So
it was a lot more enjoyable than I expected.
No, and I loved the guy that the nemesis in it. The
Michael Shannon.
Is that the guy's actor's name?
Mm-hmm.
He's a
weird dude.
He's a weird dude, but he's a phenomenal actor. Have you seen... The Runaways biopic movie with Dakota Fanning and the Twilight girl, Kristen Stewart. Yeah. Really well done, but he actually plays the manager that found and created the band.
That guy
just died a couple weeks ago.
Hmm.
Watching that movie, I didn't know anything about that guy. And so I watched the movie and watched him as that character. And then afterwards, we Googled images and video of him, and he did a phenomenal job recreating this guy on film. Not only did he look kind of like him, but he acted like him. Guy was very eccentric, very rock and roll, did a lot of drugs, had a lot of sex, and always wore makeup and everything.
Random.
Yeah, but no, he's a good actor, and of course
he's a very good actor.
Yeah, he's in Boardwalk Empire.
Yep.
Fantastic in Boardwalk Empire.
He really is. I always forget that it's him too.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he is.
He doesn't.
He's a weird character
for a guy that's got. He's got very specific features.
Mm-hmm.
You would think he doesn't really have much of a range, but he's got a real subtle range that makes every character he plays a little bit different.
Oh no, he like disappears into roles. Really
yeah.
Well.
So in The Man of Steel, I really enjoyed how he portrayed that and what he did there, and I thought that they kind of. Up the ante a little bit. I mean, of course, they had Russell Crowe as Superman's dad, and this whole other planet was a little bit more expansive than the old Marlon Brando one.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it played really well, because technically they are aliens to us, for them. So them to come down a giant ship and start I bought it.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, so, but no, I thought it was really done. I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed it.
And as I said in a different conversation earlier, or last week, you know, Kevin Costner died rescuing a blue heeler, so I'm happy.
Wrestling the dog, or rescuing the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But
the
it was
dog a, lived and Kevin Costner died.
Was it just a tornado?
Yeah.
Yeah, that and he couldn't have him get killed by aliens from another planet.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a comic book. Superman's, you know, got to have that Uncle Ben moment. With great power comes great responsibility, Superman style.
That's true. So our conversation actually reminded me of the fact that people complain about different actors getting multiple superhero roles. You know how, like, Chris Evans got the Fantastic Four and then Captain America. Ryan Reynolds got Green Lantern and then Deadpool.
Yes.
That reminded me that actually, like, Brandon Routh had Superman and then now he plays the Atom on Arrow.
Both I haven't watched Arrow, so I don't, yeah.
Man, I love that show. But both of them are DC's comic heroes.
Oh, really?
And so, he's kind of a douche on that show, too.
He is a douchey TV actor, so he's back where he belongs, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Straight up.
Well, speaking of TV superheroes, you see Daredevil on Netflix got renewed for a second season already?
Awesome.
I haven't watched any of it yet.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, now that it's got renewed for a second season, it's a little encouraging, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, the guy who played Kingpin did a really good job.
Who is it?
Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah.
However you pronounce his last
name.
Yeah,
D'Onofrio, he's a fantastic actor.
He is, because, like, the whole first season, they kind of explain that Kingpin had a childhood, and so he doesn't like being in front of people, and, like, he has issues with public speaking.
Yeah.
And, like, the entire time he does anything, like, out in the public, he has this kind of, like, twitch and stutter to the way he talks, where you're like, oh, I actually believe that he's not a professional actor, that he's afraid of being in front of crowds.
That's good.
Because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I have speaking issues, and then they'll go out and do this huge poem or, you know, monologue, or you're like, oh, you're just an actor, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, he does an actual job.
Somebody
like,
that reads their lines
mm-hmm.
and says, I'm fish.
Exactly.
And sucks at the role that they play.
That's just like that.
Yeah.
But no, he does an amazing job doing, like, the little subtle stuff that make you actually believe all of these little details about him.
Vincent D'Onofrio is a good actor.
Yeah, he's really
quality.
Good.
So, yeah, I haven't looked into the Daredevil at all, so.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. There's 13 episodes. The guy from Boardwalk Empire who plays the Daredevil does a really good job.
Oh, yeah, he played the sniper in that one with a missing part of his face, right? He has that. He had the little fake side. Isn't that the guy? He was the military sniper, but he was.
Plus, I haven't made it that far in Boardwalk Empire to see where he shows up.
What? And well, he was real early into the first season.
Really? Then I don't remember him at all.
But I'm pretty sure that's him, because I think I heard about him getting cast in that.
Because I finished the first season, I just don't remember him at all in it.
I'm pretty sure he comes in. He's got that little fake prosthetic side of his face, and he's got this, you know, his voice box and everything, because he got hit by another sniper bullet but lived.
Let's see.
When he's just got this little side mouth to him, and he's like, you know, kind of almost like a little like mashed potatoes, but not quite as hick and country.
So, it says he first showed up in season 2.
Oh, so
that's why I haven't seen
it. It is him. Pretty suave looking dude, but he was also in American Boogie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's he was like, it's the same actor.
Charlie Cox is the guy who plays him.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm on his IMDb right now.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing American Boogie on here. Okay.
Not the guy that I thought it was. Yeah, no.
But he does a really good job as Daredevil.
Okay, that guy plays in Boardwalk Empire. He is a Scottish fighter who's over working for Nucky Thompson.
Oh, okay.
As kind of a hitman, or kind of a muscle guy. No, he's a pretty good actor too. The other guy that had the little, you know, face prosthetic, he got cast in something else recently. I don't remember his name, but he's actually a really good actor, and he's been doing a really good job. He's gonna have a really good career. But it's good to encourage him. I didn't realize that Scottish dude was playing Daredevil.
Oh yeah, and he does a phenomenal job
playing a blind superhero.
Oh yeah,
cool.
And it's funny because they have it to where, like, the fight scenes, a lot of them are shot there's just one camera. And you're just seeing the fight from, like, one perspective, so it's not, like, flying around getting super dizzy.
Well, that's good, because that's how they do, you know, make things look fast. Like, that's how they always made you know, what's-his-face look really quick. The martial art, ponytail, Steven Skull. That's how they made Steven Skull look fast, was doing a lot of cuts, like, quick camera cuts. Throw a jab, make an impact. Meanwhile, you got four different cuts in that one punch to makes it look quick.
And, I mean, like, there are a couple fights where they have multiple camera angles they switch between. But there are a bunch where it's just one angle, and you just watch him fighting a bunch of dudes from that one angle.
That's cool. That's takes a lot of guts, really, for a director to have confidence in his cast to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And then his co-worker, or, like, sidekick dude, his part, the guy who's just the...
His seeing eye dog?
Close.
Does he have a judo fighting seeing eye dog? That would be awesome.
No, he's the guy who's his lawyer partner that they start the law firm together, is played by a little chubby kid from the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, really? Is it Goldberg? Was he the goalie?
No, I don't think it's that kid.
No, that's too bad. I'll really just have to watch it, I guess.
Yeah, because all the people I know it's not Goldberg. It's a kid named Fulton Reed.
I don't know real people's names.
No, that's the character's name. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen Mighty Ducks, so I don't actually remember.
I actually watched Mighty Ducks in the last 6 months. I watched the first two Mighty Ducks. And I started watching the third one. And I said, I must check out. It was a pretty terrible movie, but yeah, I watched him for Emilio Estevez.
Emilio
Estevez and his brother
Charlie Sheen.
Oh. Well, no, it's what's his real name? He's got it's something Estevez, because they did it in the he was in that movie. Was he in Django Unchained? Because they did some movie or some type of gore house, or what do they call that type of movie?
And, like the Grindhouse type?
Grindhouse movie or something like that. And they had him in there, but they used his actual name. So he said, and introducing so-and-so Estevez. But his name, you know, his birth name's not Charlie.
No, it's, hell. Friggin' Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen. Tiger's Blood. Said introducing Charlie Tiger's Sheen. Blood.
There you go. Carlos Irwin Estevez.
Carlos Estevez, yes.
That's his name.
So that was pretty funny. Introducing Carlos Estevez.
Man. So yeah, she should definitely watch Daredevil because it's, you know, it's definitely worth watching.
Well, it's on Netflix. It's at my disposal. I'm sure I'll check it out when I have some actual time. What? And not working 6 days a week for a month straight. Shh, I know, right? Barely have time to keep up on the shows that I'm already watching. I watched another episode of Game of Thrones last night trying to get caught up.
Oh, yeah? Which one did you watch?
It was the episode 4 of the 4th season. So it's one where Khaleesi's working her way across the country with the slaves. And they're freeing other slaves.
Yeah.
But Peter Dinklage's character has been locked up. And his brother comes to visit him for the first time after they accused him of killing Joffrey. And you know, I thought I'd have a little trouble getting back into it, but it's such a good show.
Yeah,
I watched that episode and I wanted to watch another one, but I had to force myself to go to bed. So I only had to watch one episode of Game of Thrones. Like, what is this? Like, am I watching it live? No, I have it at my disposal. I always binge watch that stuff.
That's the thing, is it's so fun to binge watch anyway.
Yeah, well, because then it's a good way to lose weight, because you're just sitting there, you don't eat, you get dehydrated, but you just sit in front of the TV the whole time. Oh, I remember that guy. We're looking at the Mighty Ducks picture guy. Is he chubby in the show, the Daredevil show?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that's too bad, because he was like always a super tall, big, tall kid. Kind of a child actor into a teenage actor.
Yeah, he's a little chubby. But now I do remember the episode of Game of Thrones you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good one, because it leads up to the mountain and the Viper.
No spoilers, bitch.
I'm just saying the episode called The Mountain and the Viper is good.
Okay.
Because the guy who plays the mountain is gigantic.
Oh, I've heard. Okay, I've heard about this character. Yeah. So the end of this episode had like a showed the babies that the White Walkers kept retrieving, and so it showed the last one
get
to the White Walkers, like high ground people, and he gets touched in the face, and his eyes turn blue.
That's such a crazy part.
Yeah, and that's what made me, I was like, I have to watch another one now, but I'm like, oh man, it's 11 o'clock. I got to go to bed.
I know. But it's such a good episode.
Yeah. You ever seen Game of Thrones? You ever seen Game of Thrones on weed?
Was this half-baked?
White Walkers on weed? I have.
But I love Game of Thrones.
It's a good show.
So much fun to watch. I've only seen the first episode, the newest season. So I haven't seen any of the last one that aired this last week.
Yeah, I just started to get into it again because my wife and I always try to watch it together. It's one show we watch together, but now our schedules are so crazy that pretty much we just have to take advantage of the time when you can watch it. I'll watch it, but I'm going to binge watch this weekend for sure.
Absolutely, because we only have, 4 more episodes left? 5-6 more episodes?
Well, I've got episodes, like, I think it's, isn't there 10 episodes
that's
a season?
I can't remember if it was 8 or 10.
No, it's got to be at least 10. That's what HBO is always pretty notorious for, is between 8 and 13 episodes. So I've got technically like 6 episodes left, because it's episode number 4, and so then I'll be on the 5th season. But I think, is it the 5th season that just started, or is it the 6th season that just started?
I think it's the 5th.
Is it just the 5th? So I'm really not that far behind then.
Let's see here.
For some reason, I thought I was a year, more than a year, like 2 seasons behind. Just because dragging my feet.
Yeah, it is. Season 5 is the one that just started airing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I'm actually pretty close to caught up. And they actually said the way it's going, the show is actually going to surpass the books.
Yep.
Which would be fine. You got enough creative team writing that story. You can take the TV story in a completely different direction, and George R.R. Martin can take his books wherever he wants to go with them, and you could have 2 completely different endings. It's like a choose your own adventure.
Which is the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because it's random. There was something that happened in this last episode. I don't know what it was, but apparently there was some big cry of people freaking out because it deviated from the books. It's just like, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Some the book purists, people that have time to read, suspect at best.
It's what they get. Come on.
It's like what I said. Like, I'm not going to read the book. The book is so much better. I don't care. You know why? Because if it's good enough, they'll make it into some kind of live action show, either a movie or a TV show, and then I'll care. But I'm still not going to go back and read the books. You know why? I tried listening to that on audiobook. it's like the Bible as far as I'm concerned, the dialogue goes. I can't stick with it. Just put me to sleep.
There's lots of books I'll read, but some of them I can't get into.
I can only imagine explosions and titties in so many ways. You have to show me explosions and titties.
With the emphasis on the titties.
Well, of course. It's like it's every man's responsibility and duty to try to see as many boobies as they can before they die. I can make up like boobs in my head, but that's not the point. I have to see an actual person's boobies. So that's another one in the book.
They're important.
It is. Well, you know, it's like, what else? You can't take anything with you when you die. It's like, you just have your memories, so might as well be wall-to-wall boobs.
Those are some good memories.
I know, right? They're the best kind. Because I'll motorboat them straight to hell.
Just go down the line.
Just fall into hell. This is purgatory? Awesome.
So were there any other trailers or anything that we missed discussing?
Oh, did you see the new Mad Max game trailer?
Yeah, that looks sweet.
It looks sweet. I'm suspect of it because of the fact of the way the trailer was set up. You watched the 5-minute trailer that was basically like a, not really a trailer, but like a step-by-step introduction and guide to the game. And it looked like Rage kind of meets Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But I want to know a little bit more, not just that I can customize my car and I can use, you know, WWE style wrestling and objects. I want to know, is it an open world? Is it free range? Is it kind of like Borderlands? Is it?
Oh, I listened to an interview with the developers a couple weeks ago, and if I remember correctly, they said that it was open world.
But is it an open world like Rage though? Because Rage was
empty,
quote unquote, empty open world, but you could only deviate so much. You basically had just a large path.
Yeah. No, I think that this is actual open world. It's made by the guys who made Just Cause 1 and 2. So and they know how to do like actual open world, yeah. So you can just go everywhere.
I just, when it gets games like these, I get a little nervous that, you know, it's accompanying a movie launch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really convenient because how long it takes to develop a game versus how long it actually takes to develop a movie. And when you try to make the two coincide, one of them always crashes and burns, if not both of them.
Yeah.
So it could be a good movie, a shitty game. It could be a shitty movie and a shitty game.
I prefer the game.
It's never going to be a shitty movie and a good game. It's never been that way.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping for.
Name one shitty movie that had a really good game attached to it.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I never played that game. Oh, was
I'll
it good?
Borrow it. It's awesome. It's straight up just, it's a lot like Deadpool.
Okay. Well, that movie wasn't terribly
just until the last like 20 minutes.
Yeah, the end of it, but the story up to it, I mean, it wasn't awful.
No, it was pretty good. It's just the ending sucked.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, Jurassic Park, the Jurassic Park games, and then the relaunch of the Jurassic Park game. I mean, mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, they relaunch a Jurassic Park game on the 360 and in PlayStation 3. It's well, like
that was the weird like point and click one.
Well, the one they released a few years ago.
Well, there was the Telltale one they did.
Well, there's one that just came out, probably in 2011. There was a Jurassic Park game. It came out and literally went from $60 to like $30 in the matter of a month.
Yeah, it had to.
I had one person because I, you know, at that time I was a game store manager. And one person pre-ordered that game, and I got two copies of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they had really high hopes for it.
Well, it was just...
Oh, never mind. I didn't even know that game existed.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. Because it wasn't accompanying a movie or like an anniversary DVD launch or anything. It was like, here's Jurassic Park, the game, 25 years later. Right, yeah, about 20 years later. So it made no sense. Kind of like the Ghostbusters game.
Hmm.
They launched that Ghostbusters game, and that fell flat.
Yeah. It's kind of sad when they do stuff like that.
It's just them trying to do a cash grab, and it bites them in the ass, and a bunch of people lose their jobs. Well, meanwhile, if you're working on a game like that, you're basically the equivalent of a telemarketer. You know? You're annoying, your job sucks, and you suck at it. You should have had enough integrity to say, no, I'm going to go develop a different game.
And there's just so much turnover in the industry anyway, just from people trying to like, oh, I'm working on this. Oh, never mind. I just got sent off to another company halfway across the country.
Well, because the gaming industry burns out their engineers and their designers. I mean, those guys have to work 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, looking at code just to make deadlines. Because they don't, I get not wanting to hire a bunch of people because you have to turn around and lay them off. But when you have, you know, you're working somebody ragged for at least 6 months out of the year where they're literally, you know, stressed out. A buddy of mine was a designer for Acclaim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He worked for, he went to the DigiPen school in Canada back in the late 90s. I don't know if you even know what that is.
Yep, I do. One of my friends wanted to go to it when he got out of high school.
Both he and I both applied to it.
Yeah.
I didn't have the finances in order, but he went. He did the 2-year DigiPen. It was I don't even know if it is it still up and running? A version of it, at least?
It was in 2005 when my friend applied for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a school that came out right about 95. It was a Nintendo-sponsored gaming design school up in Vancouver, British Columbia. So he went to it. From there, he left and went to San Francisco and started working for Stormfront Studios. Same people that did the Matchbox racing game on the Nintendo 64.
I don't know if I ever played that one.
It was really good. It was a fun game.
Did they do the Micro Machines game on Super Nintendo as well?
No. At that point, it was Nintendo 64.
Okay.
I don't know if they did it. That studio did it previously. Yeah. I only know from that Stormfront Studios from doing that. They also, I think, Stormfront did the claymation fighting game where they actually did motion capture of the clay studio or clay figures. So I actually knew a few people. One of them, the guys that did the Matchbox game, Mario Ventrella, he's in Chicago, I think. He still works in the studios. But my buddy worked there for a little bit and then got involved somehow with Acclaim and Tiburon Studios and moved to Texas, Austin, Texas, and worked on the MLB games for several years. And he worked 7 days a week looking at code just for the music of the game. That's all he did. He never even got, two floors up, the Turok guys were developing Turok, and they were getting all the high-end equipment, high-end computers, all the attention, all the media. When you put out the same game every year and you just tweak it, you don't get a lot. But he was working 7 days a week, 6-7 months out of the year, just looking at code for just the audio, something that is just background music to most people. Yeah,
they give them the worst schedules when they're trying to get that crap out.
Yeah, and especially
sports games.
Especially when there's a glitch somewhere in the audio, and you're just combing through code, just trying to find a digit or some kind of figure or shape out of sequence.
So I have some breaking video game news.
Go for it.
So I mentioned them earlier, but the guys, Telltale Games, the guys who made like the Walking Dead point and click game and Tales from the Borderlands and stuff, they just announced that they partnered with Marvel to make a series for next year or 2017.
Relating to what? Just Marvel?
Just Marvel Entertainment.
So it's probably going to be some kind of mashup of a bunch of characters, because that's kind of those games are cool. The Walking Dead games were fun because they were just kind of like little stories built in, and the games weren't terribly complicated. Little puzzles, really.
I liked The Wolf Among Us more than The Walking Dead because I don't care about zombies.
I think I got the free sample download of that, but I just didn't like the Walking Dead one. They gave you the first episode for free. Mm-hmm. And I think they did the same thing with the other one. Yeah. I never played it though.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was more like super vulgar fairy tales.
No, oh, that's always awesome.
There's like, cause it's fairy tales who live in New York City.
Yeah.
So, but it's like a small section, a small community in New York City to where the big bad wolf is the sheriff. And they take these pills so they look like humans.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then some of the characters just don't. So one of the three little pigs is just a chain-smoking alcoholic who just sits on a couch all day.
Sweet.
So it's actually pretty funny. It's more serious, but I really enjoyed it.
I'll have to check it out. I think I still have that first episode downloaded. Oh, I'm sure. I never played it. But at the very least, I can download it again. But yeah, I'll check it out. There's just so much stuff they started throwing at you in the Xbox Live screen.
Oh, I know.
Just all kind of free content that I don't get now because I don't have the Xbox Gold or Xbox Live Gold. But I still have games on there that I haven't even played.
Oh, I have a bunch of stuff like that. I'm just like, I got this a long time ago.
I did go down and download the Fast and the Furious.
What'd you think about that?
It was fine. It's just a racing game, mm-hmm. Just basically like a mini game. I only did one race so far, but
it'll take you like probably 3 to 4 hours to get all 1,000 achievement points.
Did you get them all?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
because like most of them are story related, well, race related.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple. It's like if you drift for, you know, a couple hundred meters, which is really simple.
Yeah, I did. I got a couple achievements by just racing. I don't know. And that's the thing that really bugs me about the achievements is that, especially if you're playing online or something like that, and it pops up and you want to look at it.
But you can't.
You can't. And then if you get like 3 or 4 different achievements, you got to go back and figure out real quick what they were. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is if I am playing online and that damn thing pops up right in the middle of my line of sight, I get killed. Like, you're messing my KD, man.
Oh, exactly.
Don't be messing with my KD, man.
So speaking of video games, I did have a question I was going to ask you. Well, it also relates to Star Wars, too.
Oh, more Star Wars. Yay.
Kind of. Did you ever play Mass Effect?
I played a little bit of it. I wasn't really a Mass Effect fan.
Yeah.
But I did play. I played a little bit of Mass Effect 2 and 3. And I think I played actually the first one the most.
Okay.
And then I only touched on the second and third one.
Gotcha. I didn't like the first one very much.
No, and I think that's maybe why I didn't really get into them too much. I don't know. It's just not my style. Some reason that the outer space games like that don't catch me. They don't resonate with me very well.
Well, and I also wasn't sure because I know like, the second and third one, it play more like Gears of War.
A little bit.
But there are still like RPGs anyway.
Yeah, kind of. And that's the other thing. Gears of War. I hate Gears of War.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I want to like it, but I don't. I just don't. I've tried going back to them time and time again.
Yeah.
I don't like the gameplay. I don't like the third person perspective. I just don't click with that at all. I sucked at that game because I hated it so much. That's one of the games that I got free, you know, the first Gears of War, I got free sitting on my hard drive, and I don't play it because I get so annoyed with it. I don't know why. I just don't like it.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, no, if you like that game, great. I'm glad it was a successful franchise, and they did a couple of one-off games like that. They did like released an online multiplayer only game that I played the demo of that was actually okay, but I didn't buy the whole game. But yeah, every time I play it, it was kind of flashing back to being 13 and just rage quitting all the time. Like I just rage quit that game all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just more curious because I didn't know if like you kind of played role-playing games that much at all.
Yeah. The only ones I really would play would be, you know, like, Fallout.
Okay.
Fallout, it was just Fallout 3 got loaned to me at one point.
Yeah.
I really wasn't aware of the game. And then I lost 6 months of my life.
Yeah, and that's more like, it is science fiction, but it's more like kind of what a mixture of like Western and...
Yeah, it's you know, it's post-apocalyptic,
yeah,
which is okay. But when it gets to be in outer space where you're confined to ships or, you know, anti-gravity, I don't know why. I just don't care. Yeah. I like having, maybe I'm such a sun fanatic that if I don't have a planet that has a sun. You're
not getting your
vitamin D? Yeah, I can't get my video game vitamin D, so I get super depressed.
Hey, no worries. Yeah, I was just curious because like it just popped into my head because I was listening to some people talk about like the new one they're making.
They knew another Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, one of those random things. So I was like, oh, we should talk about that.
I know it's a really good popular series and people like it, but again, I'm so selective about my games anymore right now because I'm just at such a weird point because we're in the transition of generations of consoles. Mm-hmm. So I really don't have anybody to play with online. So it's lost a lot of appeal to me. I like anymore. I kind of like the social aspect of even if I don't talk to people, I like playing
like as a team
with a team or just against actual people. Mm-hmm. I like knowing that when I kill somebody, they're getting super pissed, just like me. Like, not it's just not some AI and doesn't... I'm somebody's day, and I love that.
Yeah.
I have a day, I'm going to take it out on you, and I'm just going to own you this entire game. Or you're going to own me, and then I'm going to break something.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
So the other one I was going to ask you about was, did you ever play Dishonored?
I don't think that I actually did. No. Yeah, I don't recall actually ever playing it. Well, I know that it was a game that you liked. I don't think I ever played it, though.
It was a first-person... I mean, it could...
It's like a World War II kind of-ish?
No, it's set like a weird... I guess, kind of steampunk version of, like, Victorian London, that sort of type deal.
Yeah, I definitely didn't actually play it, but I remember vaguely. I remember the title and everything, and you told me that it was a decent game that kind of didn't get its due.
Yeah.
But no, I never visited it.
Well, it's cool because it's a world where everything runs on, like, destroyed whales. So you just kill whales, use their blubber to power everything.
Well, it's funny because that's actually a thing. You can actually burn whale blubber.
Oh yeah.
To fuel, make fuel. We just haven't tapped into the whale blubber market because they're, you know, got all the tree huggers.
Bastards.
Yeah, you're not gonna. You know, it should be just everything should run on hemp and whale blubber.
But it's cool because it's a first person.
It's a renewable resource.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a first person like stealth game where you're an assassin.
So it's like Hitman old school.
Kinda, yeah.
Assassin's Creed meets Hitman.
Actually, that is kind of a good way to put it.
All right, cool.
But you have, like, weird supernatural powers.
Oh.
So you can, like, do, like, Nightcrawler teleport across the screen deal. You can turn into rats or dogs and kill people that way.
Weird.
And Susan Sarandon plays a crazy blind witch.
Big old titties. Old lady titties.
Not in this actual game.
Oh, damn. Her daughter. Hmm.
But it's kind of hard to describe without looking at it because it has a really weird art style, and it's cool though because I played it for the second time, and depending on how many people you kill as you go through the game depends on how the world ends up.
Oh, so you actually, it's kind of like Fable where your actions have an impact,
yeah,
on either your character or the world around you.
Yeah, so you have this set list of, like, you know, 6 or 7 people you're supposed to kill, and so if you go through, kill all the guards, random civilians, the world will become infested with plague-bearing rats and crazy, like, half-zombies called Weepers. And it'll just be super hard because everyone will have more guards. There'll be more stuff trying to kill you. And then, but if you use, like, your little sideways to get rid of people instead of killing them, you can just do different little methods where they just disappear forever.
Yeah.
The world's, you know, not filled with crazy.
Well, who wants the video game world not full of crazy?
Yeah, I know that, like, my explanation's not real amazing for the game.
It's riveting stuff, John. Riveting stuff.
I'm really good at this, okay?
You're giving me a visual world here.
Mm. There you go. One good thing is to just watch, like, you know, a random, like, gameplay video of it.
I'll have to go back and check it out, I guess.
I played it both times, and I thought the world and the story were super interesting.
Yeah, which is hard to find lately. Some of the stories in some of the games are
god-awful
right now.
And plus, it was funny because you could just randomly, like, take possessions of dudes.
Steal. It's fun.
Yep. So you could steal stuff from everyone, and then you could, like, take control of a dude and just walk around as him.
Just stick your hand up his butt and puppet him?
No, I wish. No, you just
ventriloquist
float
style into
his body like a spirit.
Ooh, I don't want to be in some dude.
It's really weird.
It's not for me.
So, but you can, you know, knock. You can, like, go of him and then knock him out and carry his body around and hide.
What game was that you could... You could send something out and you could control somebody. It was like a little miniature.
There was the Force Unleashed. Not the Force Unleashed. Jedi Outcast you could do that in.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. Wasn't there, like, also, like, Oddworld? Oddworld you could control. Did you ever play in the Oddworld games?
The only one I played was Abe's Odyssey.
Abe's Odyssey was fun. The Oddworld games were fun. But I think one of the Oddworlds you could actually control guys. And so you could attack. You could attack, use an enemy to attack another enemy.
Well, actually, now that you mention, I think that was in Stranger's Wrath, was the one where you could do that.
Oddworld, Stranger's Wrath?
Yeah.
I think in Abe's Odyssey you could do it again as well, because I think Abe's Odyssey is the only one I did from beginning to finish.
You can.
Beginning to end.
Because you just, like, take control, then they'll, like, murder each other.
Yeah,
because
then all you have to do is just swipe one of the guys and hit him once, and suddenly they're all pissed at each other, and then you can just go about your way. But those Oddworld games, that's the kind of game that I really like.
Because
it's a little bit of puzzle factor. But it's still got a really good, fun story and fun characters.
They did an HD remake of Abe's Odyssey. I don't know if it's out for 360 yet. I know it came out for, like, next-gen consoles first. And I know that I think the PlayStation 3 version comes out next week.
Well, I remember for the longest time, Oddworld was just a PlayStation game.
Yeah.
The original imagining of it. But, well, just like Metal Gear. You know, Metal Gear for the long time wasn't available. And it was a Sega game, I believe. And then Sony had the rights, and then they did that HD collection for that and released it on both platforms.
Yeah, which I actually just bought that yesterday.
That game came out like 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or 5 years. I guess it's only like 4 years ago.
But yeah, I just bought it.
Well, you know,
because it's funny, I've never played any of the Metal Gear games before.
I only played one. I think I played Metal Gear Solid, and it had the weirdest story, or it was Metal Gear 3 or something.
What's the problem is I asked a dude the other day which one to start with, because there's the ones for, like, Super Nintendo, then there's the ones for PlayStation, and then they go through all these different naming conventions, and I had no idea, because the HD version I bought had Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and then apparently a PSP one they released. It didn't have, like, the first game, because apparently there's the HD collection I bought, which is three games, and then there's another HD collection called the Legacy Collection, which is the three games I bought plus five others.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Yeah, I mean, I played the original, like, original either Nintendo, original Nintendo one, I think, is the one I played. Wasn't there one on the original Nintendo? Yeah,
there was.
So that's the one that I played. And
that was
then,
just called Metal Gear.
Yeah, it was just Metal Gear. And then I just... It, like, I think all the other ones came out on Sega, and I was a Nintendo guy growing up. Just because Segas were kind of expensive.
Yeah, they were.
And then, and it's a dead, and I had foresight, and it's a dead, you know, a dead brand basically now. And I could just tell Nintendo made their stuff cheap, and now Nintendo is going to go out of business eventually, and they're just going to become a software company.
They're so weird, because have you been keeping up with, like, some of their weird press conferences they've been doing the last week?
No, uh-uh.
They announced they're going to start making games for mobile.
Which I knew was coming. They had talked about that before.
And then they're also going to do... They said that they started working on the follow-up to the Wii U.
Follow-up to the Wii U.
Well, you know, just whatever their next console is.
Yeah, the follow-up to the Wii was the Wii U, and it sucked. Mm-hmm. And the Wii was fairly successful, had good longevity, but didn't really have broad mass appeal. It's like film studios that make kids' movies. The Smurf movies.
Oh, yeah.
Those movies suck.
Yes, they do.
But they got a sequel. You know why? Because they make money hand over fist.
Absolutely.
Because families just want something to take their kids to. So,
they can just shut their brains off, get a little bit drunk, and then their kids will be happy.
Exactly. You don't have to... Daddy's going to take a little bump of Coke. You just watch the blue man on the screen, okay?
Exactly.
But, you know, so the games, like the Wii, had a real broad appeal because it was really, really interactive, and you get a bunch of fat families that think they're working out with their kids because they're suddenly up and active. You know what? When I play video games, I want to sit my ass on the couch. That's the whole point. That's why I don't like the Kinect. Oh, you can get up and move around. It's not why I play video games. If I wanted to move around, I won't buy your damn system. I'll go outside and I'll actually get out in the world and I'll go ride a bike. I won't hold a remote control and look like a freaking retard in my living room.
Amen. I have a Wii that I bought only for those, like, prettier versions of Mario All-Stars. That's the only reason I bought it.
Well, I didn't have to buy one. My wife won one at one time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so, and then when I was a game store manager, I got a free copy of the last Legend of Zelda.
Oh, nice.
And so I got the gold Wii remote and the game, and that's the only Nintendo brand, you know, game that I title that I still look forward to. Mm-hmm. I love the Zelda games. And that one was...
I've never played one.
A Zelda game?
Never.
Oh, you don't have them for your 64?
I have Ocarina of Time, but that was... for some reason, every time I put it in, the audio and stuff is all jacked up.
You need to get yourself another copy of that.
Yeah, because I got it at
Majora's Mask
garage sale.
You need to get Majora's Mask.
My copy's kind of broken.
In Ocarina of Time. Or you can go out and get a Nintendo DS 3D,
mm-hmm.
and you can get Ocarina of Time on there and play it in 3D.
That'd be awesome.
It is pretty awesome. It was the exact same game. It is scene for scene the exact same game.
Yeah.
The 64. The graphics are smoothed over a little bit, and then it's in 3D.
See, I've always wanted to play a Legend of Zelda game, but like when I was growing up, the only games I had for like regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, were just super random stuff.
Yeah.
Like I had like obviously the Mario games, then I had like Base Wars, and just random stuff like that.
Yeah.
But none of my friends had any Zelda games.
See, I got introduced to Zelda by a friend of mine the first time. So when I was a kid, forever ago, in the mid-80s, we moved overseas. My dad was in the military, so we moved to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I had an Intellivision 2.
Yeah.
And that thing was awesome. It was an Intellivision 2. It was awesome. Wasn't an Atari, but it was still badass. It was fun.
A lot of those old game systems were great.
Yeah, if you ever watch...
I had a Commodore 64 that was bitchin'.
Oh, we had a Commodore 64 and an Intellivision, too. We were on the cutting edge of gaming.
You were ballin'.
Hell yeah. I was writing code on Commodore 64 from copied games, trying to get them to work. And I actually did it a little bit.
You were way ahead of me.
Oh, floppy. We had... Because your floppy disk drive was a separate unit that actually plugged into your... You didn't have a tower. It didn't work that way.
Nope.
And the disk drive actually made a noise like,
yeah, meh. It was great though.
Yeah, but like you had all these games and my dad actually knew a guy that knew how to copy all these games. And so we had in 1986, we had a Commodore 64 and we had about 250 games for it.
Wow.
It was crazy. And so I was a gaming kid. And so being in Germany, you're kind of cut off from pop culture and popular culture in the United States for sure. And so I came back to the U.S. last week in 1986, finished out my third grade year here in Oregon, and then we moved to New Jersey and started meeting some new friends at the new school. This is 6 months after we got back, maybe a little bit more. And I was like, hey, you know, you want to come over to my house? I got a Commodore 64 and a Intellivision. They're like, yeah, we got a Nintendo. And I go, what's a Nintendo? And Nintendo had been out for almost 3 years, and I'd never heard of it. Had no idea. And then I saw one, and I was like, holy crap. We got to get rid of this. We need a Nintendo.
Well, the best part is like, obviously I'm a lot younger, but my brother...
you, John.
I'm just saying, I had a similar thing to where I didn't know what a Nintendo was.
But for the opposite reason.
Well, no, like
because it came out before you were born.
Well, I was saying because my family has so many effing kids in it.
Yeah,
they're always too broke to buy new systems.
Well, of course, but you know you can get a you can get
like a six. We had a Commodore 64, and then my oldest brother bought a Nintendo somehow, but I didn't know what it was because, like, this church we went to had a Mario Brothers arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
So I played through Super Mario Brothers 1 all the way through on this arcade cabinet, and then I found out that it was actually a Nintendo game.
And it wasn't even Super Mario Brothers, right? Wasn't it just Mario Brothers or something like that? Or well, Super Mario?
It was
just Super Mario or something. Yeah.
The one that they had at the church was just Mario 1.
It was some knockoff. It was actually like Super Jesus Mario. Like, well, right?
Yeah, but it was some Korean knockoff. Mario was wearing a white robe.
Yeah, he did have a staff, and he said, "You shall not pass." That's the same guy, right?
And
same guy?
Different guy.
Okay.
And despite being from Israel, he was whiter than a German.
What? Jesus isn't white? What are you talking about?
Well, if you go to the Mormon church, he is.
Well, of course. Well, it's not the same Jesus. Yeah, he's blonde-haired, blue-eyed. He's from the master race.
Yep. But no, so I got Nintendo super late as well.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, that was a Nintendo 1987. So I didn't actually play I saw a Nintendo
mm-hmm.
in 1987. I didn't actually play one until 1989.
We got ours in like probably 1994?
We got ours in
1993?
We got ours in 1991. Okay. So I saw one in 87. I actually got to play one in 1989, and we didn't get one until 1991. But the first one I got to play was my friend at that time. His dad somehow worked for a studio.
Yeah.
That did Zelda or something. I don't know what his affiliation was. Maybe he was just a really big gamer dad, but he was a dad that lived far away.
Okay.
And so he would send his son all the newest games, and he sent him the new Zelda, like the, you know, Nintendo Zelda. But then this was before strategy guides.
Oh, dude.
So his dad gave him like a notebook, and it was filled with everything to do. So the kid basically just had to go through and follow all the steps to beat the game, which defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's that one point where you're on the screen that's got the cross trails, and you have to do a certain combination to go left, left, down. You know, like you scroll and off the screen, and it comes up with the same image. And it's just like a crossroad.
You have to figure out which puzzle to go.
Yeah, till you end up at the door. That came in handy, of course, because it was infuriating to try to do it without it, because you're like, there's no instructions.
Yeah.
A little tiny booklet doesn't tell you what to do. There's no online. You can't go online and find out. So I got it a little bit, but at the same time, he would just play them and use these daddy hand-drawn strategy guides and beat the games. And I'm like, well, this kind of defeats the purpose.
Mm-hmm. It does.
The same point when the Game Genie came out. It was fun to have unlimited lives, but at some point it just defeats the purpose.
It really
does.
But
that was my first... I didn't actually like the original Zelda that much. I just wasn't as big of a fan. I played it a lot, so I did play a lot of it. So when it came back out and they released the games on the 64, I actually pre-ordered it. First games I ever pre-ordered them at Walmart. One at Walmart, one at Sears. And so I got the gold cartridges for the 64 games, Majora's Fantastic. Mask and Ocarina of Time. Best gaming experience I ever had on the 64 were those two games. Loved them. Just played them nonstop. Had a good time.
Yeah.
First game that I actually went back and played through again was Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I've always wanted to play them.
Because I loved being able to go between the two worlds as a young Link and an older Link.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. And so when they released it on the 3DS, mm-hmm. the Game Boy, I was so stoked because I was working at the store and I was like all these kids. And like, this came out, you know, when I was like 18 and 20 years old, you know.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of old for kids, but these like six-year-old kids and... this game came out when their parents were in junior high.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I'm like, this is old school, but this is awesome. And so it was nice seeing a new generation enjoy it in a new medium. But I just wanted to play that damn thing so much. Again, I wanted to play it in 3D, even though it messed with your eyes.
Well, I mean, on the 3DS, you can turn the slider down.
You can. You can turn the depth of the 3D on, but it tells you straight up in the manual, do not play this in 3D for over an hour.
Yeah.
Like, take a break. Like, because it'll mess your eyes up.
That's what I love about like the Wii and stuff like that, where if you play a game for like an hour or more, Mario will pop up, be like, hey, do you want to go outside?
Hey, fatty, put down the Cheetos.
I don't know about you, but we both exercise, and my favorite thing to do on like a Sunday is literally sit on my ass playing video games so long until my legs start to hurt, because I just haven't.
You might just want to go to the doctor, because that's not a thing for me.
Really?
It seems my butt hurts maybe from sitting down the whole time.
Oh, no, I have my legs freak out if I don't move them.
I think you may have poor circulation. Yeah. You might have a heart problem. You need an EKG. Yeah, right?
Is that them Russians?
We are EKG.
That's right.
No, but yeah, I mean, I like to sit down and play video games. Like, that's relaxing time.
Absolutely.
Except when I get super pissed. But, you know, that's part of my relaxation method.
Mm-hmm.
If I choose to rage quit something, that's my doing. Don't throw it in my face, or there's going to be an argument coming. That's just what's going to happen.
Dude, I'm not knocking it.
No, I'm just saying. Somebody needs to not argue with me at my house when I get pissed at a game realize that that's just the way it goes, and you just need to sit there and just let me brood and be mad about it for a little bit. That's my process.
Well,
that's my gaming process.
That's why Christian Finnegan has that whole comedy bit about playing video games and then his wife getting pissed when he breaks a controller.
I haven't heard that, but I could easily identify with that. I haven't broken a controller in 6 or 7 years. 7 years. 7 years? I haven't broken a controller in 7 years.
It's been probably 4 for me.
Oh. Well, you're a little bit younger than I am.
It was in this house when I broke it.
No, I broke an Xbox controller, or a 360 controller. I did break one of those.
That's what I broke.
My record is Nintendo 64. I had 4 controllers for all 4 ports. And then after a 3-month period, I had 1 left. And it was Excitebike 64, a game I love but hate at the same time.
Yeah,
I drank a lot at that time because I didn't have anything else to do.
I've had experiences like that where you're like, I love this game so much. It's the greatest game ever.
Well, when you're, you know, doing a track that takes like 5 minutes and then you miss the time by 0.001 second or something like that, you're going to get a little upset.
I know you don't like Driver San Francisco, but there's a race on that game where you have to drive around the entire circumference of San Francisco in a McLaren.
Oh, yeah?
Staying above like 100 miles an hour, not hitting any cars.
That.
And it takes like 7.5 minutes.
No way. Yeah.
In order to get like the gold.
Kid, I'd get to 6:59 and
took me 8 tries in one day.
Eight tries? That's it?
It was the most I've screamed at my TV in a single day. Because like a truck would just come out of nowhere.
No, yeah, because it's like, you thought you had it. No, you didn't. No, the game
so mad.
The game for me that they actually re-released just recently. Killer Instinct.
Oh, I love Killer Instinct.
No.
Well, it's I love the Killer only Instinct time. For the Super Nintendo. I've never played the one for the 64 or the one for the Xbox One.
Well, I don't want to because the consoles are so much more expensive now.
Yeah.
At that time, I didn't have to. You know, I did buy my Super Nintendo when I was a preteen, like 13. I actually bought my own Super Nintendo. And then I acquired a bunch of controllers over time, and I had this cool one that was clear. You could see the guts in it. It had lights in it and everything.
Oh, those ones are the best.
Yeah, it was cool. I actually snapped it in half in my hands. Just snapped the thing completely in half playing that game. I hated that game. I don't know why I play fighting games. I hate fighting games. I hate them.
I hate fighting games except for Killer Instinct.
I hate fighting games. Like. Killer Instinct, it didn't make any sense. What was the Ultra combo? Like 100 plus combos. Like what? No. What the hell is that about?
I only know how to button mash. I don't know actual combos.
Well, that's the problem. That's where the separation started, is that they had all these combinations that you had to do, and button mashing, you might stumble onto one, but you didn't. And if you didn't, and then be like, no, I did that right. Like, no, you didn't, because you didn't get the Ultra move. And I'm like, I did it right. No, you didn't. God. And that was it.
Well, it's funny. I got the free version of Injustice: Gods Among Us, the Mortal Kombat DC game.
Yeah,
and I got that for free through PlayStation Plus. And so I downloaded it. I was like, sweet, I can go beat people up as the Flash. I made it almost through the tutorial before I was like, I'm out.
Just too complicated.
Yeah.
What is it with a game that makes you do a move? Like, you know, here's the tutorial. You have to do this move to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Just start the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to. No. That's why I like the games. You want the tutorial? No, I don't. You know why I don't? Because I'm going to get pissed no matter what. I'm going to get pissed at your tutorial and I'm going to quit playing your game. Might as well just let me start playing the game and I'll get pissed and I'll keep going.
Yeah. I almost got pissed off at the Metal Gear tutorial I started last night.
Oh, yeah?
But the only reason I kept going with it was because it was a drill instructor on a beach screaming at all his recruits. He's like, you damn recruits, in order to kill this guy, you need to press the action button, which is Y, and then you need to hit the right trigger.
Yeah, there's been a couple games that do like that, where you're getting yelled at by some kind of sergeant. I think Halo, not Halo. I played another game that did something like that. What was it? Oh, a Call of Duty. The Call of Duty Advanced Warfare had you go through like a training method thing that you could do, and you were getting yelled at.
I just like it when they actually reference like the controller you're touching.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that kinda makes it funny and not as pissing me off.
Yeah,
much.
Well, it's a little bit more immersive. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, hey, we're still in the world, but they know that you're actually holding a controller,
which is fun.
Some poor deaf kid trying to play the game. He's like, "What am I supposed to do?" Sorry, that was bad. You better cut that out.
I met a deaf guy today, and it took me a while to like realize he was deaf.
Oh yeah.
So I kept asking him questions.
Yeah.
And then he would like say something, and I was like, I'm a horrible person.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah. Well,
here's your sign.
I just flash back to the Family Guy episode where they have the naked deaf guy.
Mm-hmm.
Naked deaf guy. You
naked
can't
oiled
get,
up deaf
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, you can't get me.
Well,
I know. Okay. My cousin's deaf.
I believe you. So before we say anything else
cousin,
that's super awful, we should probably wrap this up.
I'm sure I have a deaf cousin somewhere.
Yeah.
I have a whole lot of cousins I haven't met. Probably got a deaf one somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, you're going to get your first hate email, so that's sweet.
Hey, as long as someone emails to prove that they listen to the show, that's what matters.
Yeah, that would be awesome, but it's not going to be the deaf kid.
Nope. Because this ain't a visual medium.
Nope.
We don't have subtitles.
Nothing pretty to look at here.
So anyways, thanks for joining me this week, Richard.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on this little adventure of episode number 5.
Absolutely. Episode number 4 was a great time.
I know, episode number 5, including the lost episode that you lost.
No. All right, well, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.